This message is on the attitudinal quality of positive self-awareness. You know, winners really are more aware. They are well aware of how little they really know about anything in their own potential contribution to the quality of life. And winners are keenly aware of the abundance available to them in the three main arenas of life. These arenas are full of interaction. They're not separate, nor are they independent. And each is full of unexplored possibilities and untapped potential. To losers, the three arenas look like a three-ring circus where too many confused activities are going on at one time to ever get perspective or focus. But for the winners, these three circles, which harmonize with each other into three concentric circles of growth, each complementing the other, make up what I call the winner's circle in life. The outer circle contains the many environments which act upon you and upon which you act. It's the arena outside of yourself, where your profession and your social and your family and education and your leisure activities take place. And it's full of tremendous abundance everywhere. But let me ask you, how many sunrises and sunsets have you watched this month? How many good books have you read? Is your education continuing? How's your sailboat? How's your family? How's your golf game? Have you fed or helped a third world orphan this month? How's your income? Are you independent or looking forward to Social Security? Are you getting and giving enough in your outer circle, your wonderful environmental abundance? The next related circle in your life houses your physical potential, all of the skin and the bones and cells and the parts and the muscles that make up your physical being. More abundance, and in many of us, too much abundance from overeating. But let me ask you this. How's your body these days? Are you fat and sluggish? Are you gaunt and nervous? Do you puff going up a flight of stairs? What kind of fuel do you put into your magnificent machine, your one and only transportation vehicle? Is it full of smoke? Are your brain and liver pickled in alcohol? Do you fuel it up with high-test meals, or do you use low-octane, grease-fried, hit-and-run junk food? Is your body a Ferrari that you tune and tweak for the Grand Prix or the Le Mans? Or is it a clunker parked by the curb to get you from birth to death any old which way? Well, if you abuse it, you won't get to use it as long. You see, winners are aware that their bodies cannot be traded in for a new model, and that their performance in the outside environmental world is dependent upon good health. You can only do good if you feel good. The innermost circle, seemingly the smallest, is really the largest arena of all. It controls all of our actions and reactions in the two other arenas. It's your mental arena. It houses your thought processes inside your brain and central nervous system. Talk about abundance. Dr. William James, a recognized leader and psychologist, said that even the most effective humans utilize less than 10% of their mental potential. Well, it's much less than 10%, no more than 1% at the most. The Brain Research Institute at UCLA has concluded that the ultimate creative capacity of the brain may be infinite. In other words, no limits at all, except those which are self-imposed. If you put 1,000 IBM computers in tandem, linked together floor by floor in the Trump Towers in New York, you wouldn't have a fraction of the memory or calculating ability of one 10-year-old human brain. Because your brain is a Xerox machine, a videotape recorder, a Technicolor widescreen projector, and 10 billion miniature microfilm cartridges, all delicately designed into one storage battery, floating in an electrochemical solution. Well, with all of this virtually untapped and limitless mental potential, why aren't we more creative and resourceful and inventive and effective and thoughtful? What are the resistors that block our fulfillment and frustrate mental effectiveness? Well, laziness, to be sure, is one. Who cares? Why bother? Fear is another big one. It's too risky for me. But far more obstructive and destructive than these two is a limited self-awareness resulting from negative attitudes. This lack of awareness creates the major energy gap preventing the release of full human potential. Real self-awareness is self-honesty. Winners are honest about their potential, and they're honest about the time and effort necessary for top achievement. Winners can look in the mirror and see what lies behind their own eyes. You're a real winner when what you think and how you feel and what you do are nearly consistent. Losers are unaware of their environments. They're unaware of the needs of others and unaware of their own personal involvement with life. But winners are sensitive. They're more tuned in and more turned on than others around them. And they don't need drugs or external stimulants to make life a real happening. They're that way naturally. The losers become hardened and cold and closed to new ideas and new opportunities. And this hardness can range from intellectual cynicism to indifference, to apathy, to prejudice and aloofness, to vulgarity and rudeness. Losers suffer from hardening of the arteries that connect their insights with their hindsights and foresights. And so losers are narrow-minded. But the winners are open. They see the many alternatives in every situation. They look at relative rather than absolute facts. Self-awareness is open-mindedness. Are you open-minded? Do you look at life through your parents' eyeglasses? Are your prejudices inherited, or are they your own? Is your skin white, and do you wish you could sport a deep bronze tan all year round? Or is your skin brown or black, and you wish maybe it was white? Self-awareness is realizing that skin color, birthplace, religious belief, sex, financial status, and intelligence are not the only measures of worth or worthiness. Self-awareness is accepting the fact that every human being is a distinctly unique individual and thinking how good that is. No two people alike, not even identical twins. We're unique in our fingerprints, unique in our footprints, even in our lip prints. Bell Telephone has discovered that each of us speaks with a different sound frequency unmatched by any other person, and it's in the process of developing a voice print system that will provide instant positive identification electronically. As we enter the 21st century, it will be possible to do away with ID cards and credit cards, and phone calls to banks, and signature comparisons and fingerprint checks by stating your own name audibly into a microphone at the counter or the check stand. Your voice print frequency will be compared with the one on file in a central computer. No more phony checks or stolen credit cards, because we all speak at different frequencies, and we think at different frequencies, too. How many times have you heard people say, "You know, we're not on the same wavelength"? Well, we've been trying to get on the same wavelength for many centuries.